Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Well, it is a Monday. Hope everybody's having a good one. It is a tough time in this United States of America and the world. Everywhere you turn around, you're talking about coronavirus. You're talking about what can you do while you're at home? What's happening with people as they think about trying to find new jobs? I mean, there's just a never-ending list of things that we're trying to figure out as we stay home and work from home and all of those kind of things. Today, we are joined on ABQ Connect by Dr. Brian Nixon. He's an assistant pastor and the director of publishing and education with Calvary Albuquerque. He helps to put together all the books and things that are produced by Skip Heitzig. A lot of those materials, fantastic things for you to be taking a look at, all kinds of electronic media and other types of resources. Brian, welcome into ABQ Connect.
Jim, as usual, it's great to be with you. And, of course, during a very sad and sobering time for many people throughout the world, but we're just placing our trust in the Lord.
Brian, many times we have talked on the show, and you've given us some really neat talking points and thought-provoking types of statements that are really simple for us to remember. And I'm really praying that today you're able to do that same thing, because I think that people are constantly thinking that Christians leave their brains at the door. And I'm just ever wanting to encourage them that that is really not true. You've talked to us a little bit about science and how the Bible supports science and how science supports what is taught biblically. And we've talked about, you know, everything from evolution. You know Ray Mondragon, who was on our program quite frequently. You've talked to us about this character that we talk about all the time named Jesus, and you've addressed him from a standpoint of somebody that might be skeptical. So wanted to spend some time today with people that are sitting back and maybe listening to the program and rehashing some of this stuff. So let's start with, Brian, why do you believe that the Bible is true?
It's a great question, Jim, and I think really appropriate question. You know, in times of suffering and a lot of skepticism in the world, people will be turning to religious books, so to say, as to find solace. And, of course, as Christians, we do believe the Bible is true. And there are a host of reasons why we believe it's true, but let me just narrow it down to two overarching reasons.
Okay.
The first is external evidence, and the second is internal evidence. So let me unpack external evidence first. What I mean by external evidence, when we read the Bible, we see that it gives us a reliable description of certain characteristics that correspond to the world, such as geography. We open the Bible, it's describing real people, places, and things. It's not describing some made-up land of some faraway people. It is really describing realistic geographical locations. And the second thing is true about history. It gives us a reliable description of history. And, you know, it's not talking about some made-up or fictitious history. We open the Bible and we learn about people such as Egyptians and pharaohs and the Middle Bronze Age period. So it's a reliable description of history. And we find that it also gives us an accurate assessment of science. You know, it really does, contrary to what a lot of people thought, the Bible does teach that the earth is round and other scientific indicators. So that's the type of external evidence I'm referring to. But the type of internal evidence could really be summarized in two overarching things. Number one, fulfilled prophecy. Thousands of years before, you know, certain things happened, God said that they were going to happen. Prophecy is God's confirming that his word is true. And even 500 years before Jesus was born, there was roughly 300 prophecies related to Jesus. So fulfilled prophecy is an internal evidence that the Bible is true. And then I think another one is that the Bible gives an accurate representation of the human soul. It tells us that we're sinners. It tells us we're in need of a Savior. It really describes in eloquent and sometimes very brutally honest language that we're not perfect, but we need someone who is perfect. So these internal evidences, fulfilled prophecy, and a good representation of the human condition, I think are very important to the larger fabric, if you will, of why we believe the Bible is true.
So right now, our students are not really faced with college professors kind of getting in their face about what they might have believed all the way through high school, and then they move away. They don't have the protection of their parents or the community that they're raised with. We don't have to worry about that right now because schools are all shut down. But, Brian, for students that want to be able to answer the arguments against the authority of the Bible, how can you encourage them?
Well, I would say, first of all, a student, be it a high school student, college student, or even an adult lifelong learner, we need to educate ourselves. We need to be familiar with wonderful thinkers who have thought through these problems before. So we need to turn to these guys and glean from them what they've said on the topic. So I always, as you know, Jim, recommend people to be readers of great Christian authors. And I would tell any student, if you really want to get a good foundation as to these major issues and you know, talking points of what's happening in universities, I would recommend that you start with Norman Geisler. He has a book called Unshakable Foundations, and he addresses not only science, he addresses philosophy, he addresses a host of subjects and concepts that I think any student who's serious about their walk with God, they need to be reading people like Geisler to help equip them and give them the tools necessary to give good answers to people who may ask.
Tell us a little background about Norman Geisler. I know he's one of your college professors, but I don't think people really understand the background that many of these great thinkers and people that put together. And Brian, I know you don't want me to rattle your chain at all, but you know, yourself and Skip Heitzig and many of the things coming out of Calvary Albuquerque are also just amazing resources. So tell us a little bit about Norman Geisler and his, the things that he was contemplating in his life.
Yeah, Norman really is a giant of the faith. He came to Christ in his 20s, I believe it was, through, I think, the Campus Crusade for Christ's ministry. He was brought up Roman Catholic, and really in his early Christian life, he realized he needed to provide answers to the questions people were asking, not only in the university system, but generally in life. So his whole ministry was a ministry of apologetics. And apologetics is the defense of the Christian faith. So he would take the most difficult problems, ethical situations, and he would try to provide biblical answers for people. And he spent, you know, the vast majority of his life doing that. And I think he wrote over 80, 90 books. He wrote literally hundreds upon hundreds of articles, and he is considered by many to be the most important evangelical apologist living. Sadly, he went home to be with the Lord not too long ago, but he almost addressed every single you know, issue out there as it relates to opposition to the Christian faith. So I was blessed to, of course, study underneath him. A lot of my friends studied with him, and I have benefited greatly from his insight and his work. Now, like everyone, I may not agree 100% with everything he says, but I always point people to Norm as a place to start because he's so broad and so deep in what he's saying. But he's not the only one out there, Jim. As you know, there are other great apologists. Another teacher of mine was a fellow by the name of John Warwick Montgomery. And though John Warwick Montgomery wasn't as broad and thorough in a host of topics, he too was a fine apologist. And another fellow I studied with at Biola, William Lane Craig, again, another fine apologist. These guys are people you want to turn to and glean from with there. And then, but you know, you mentioned something about Pastor Skip. It just so happens, Jim, we have a book coming out this year by Pastor Skip called The Biography of God. Mm-hmm. And in this book, it's both for the seeker the skeptic and the saint. There's something for the Christian who could glean and get equipped. There's something for the seeker who is wanting to know more about the Christian God. And there's even some challenges for the skeptic, those people who don't believe in God. We're really excited about this book, and I would encourage your listeners to be on the lookout for it. It's scheduled to be released in October of this year, and it's Pastor Skip's The Biography of God. As a matter of fact, I told Skip this myself. I said, Skip, besides The Bible from 30,000 Feet, which obviously is one of his best-known books, I said, this book is by far my second favorite book that you have written. And so The Biography of God does address some of the things that we're discussing right now, Jim.
I love it. Brian, right now people are in pain. They're in pain financially, emotionally, spiritually. Is it normal to have doubts about our faith in these kinds of times?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it is normal to have doubts about our faith. I think on a certain level, these doubts are part of our constitution, our makeup. They're you know, maybe the way the Lord created us, you know, we respond to certain things, kind of a fight or flight type thing. But what we want to make sure is that we don't allow these doubts and fears to control us. So it's normal to have them, but we don't want them to control us. We need to go beyond them. And specifically, Jesus told us not to worry. Why? Why do you think Jesus said that? Well, I think, you know, one of the reasons could be it shows a lack of trust in God. And it was John MacArthur who said, be preoccupied with him, not in the mundane of worrying. So when we're worrying, we're not necessarily trusting in God, but we're preoccupied with the things of this earth rather than the things of God. So, sure, stress and pressure, these are part of life, sometimes things we can't avoid, but we have to get beyond them. We have to prioritize them rightfully in light of Scripture and what Jesus would call us to do. So, you know, and where we get the right answers and how to deal with these stress and pressures of life is, of course, from Scripture.
Right. Brian, I want to ask you about biases in science, biases in history, biases in looking at the Word of God, and what scholarship has taught you about how to objectively look at each one of these areas of you know, academia and evaluate them appropriately and honestly. Is that a tough thing for people to do?
Yeah. I think it is. For me, Jim, what really, really helped me was the basics of logic. And again, I don't mean to sound too intellectual here, but I would say if Christians got a basic understanding of logic, of those points to be on the lookout for, we would be that much better in providing real concrete examples. And with logic, there's basically two types of logic. There's deductive logic, and this reasons, you know, provides evidence for its truth and conclusions. And then there's inductive logic, which is kind of a bottoms-up approach. But some of the things you would look up or understand with logic would be something simple like a straw man. The straw man argument of logic is, let's say I bring up a logical point, Jim, that you don't know how to answer. And rather than answering it deductively or inductively, you just start attacking me, the person. You know, you go, Brian, if you weren't so, you know, you fill in the blank, you know, I wouldn't even have to address this. So rather than dealing with the actual point I'm putting on the table for you to contemplate or answer to, you attack me. And that is what we would call a straw man argument. You've set up a straw man so that the attention is taken off the fact that you can't answer my question. So simple things of that. There are many other things. And here's the nice thing about logic. You don't even have to even get a book by Norman Geisler or others. You could just get online and study some basic concepts of logic, and I think a Christian would benefit greatly from these arguments and then to be on the lookout of them. You know, and we don't see these just with non-believers such as atheists and agnostics and such. We see these with politicians, in the media, in advertisement. There's a lot of them around. So I really just think that logic would be a great place to start.
Yeah, we have a frequent guest named Steve McKee. He, of course, has been the owner of McKee Wallwork Advertising in Albuquerque for 20-plus years, one of the leading advertising agencies in the country. And
right.
Steve is a branding expert. And I teased him a little bit. I always think about things like progressive Democrats and what that actually means. It's all
right.
Branding. But the truth is, for example, you know, my question could be applied this way. A Democrat today might be so angry at our current president that they may not be evaluating what issues are in front of them and how those are being addressed by not just the current president, but the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. So your logical, your application of logic could really help us get over some of those biases and think through things logically. And then if you have a background in the Bible, you can have some spiritual guidance as to how to vote, what to think about, how things actually are in the world. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think, you know, that's what makes someone, going back to Geisler, so powerful an arguer, because he both had an immense grasp of the Bible and an immense grasp of logic and how to respond to these. So, I would agree. You know, these things, such as straw man, circular reasoning, all of these basic logical premises would be essential for Christians to understand and really think through a host of things, be it politics or worldviews or advertising. It's all there.
I love that you're thinking and challenging us to do the same. Dr. Brian Nixon on the phone with us this afternoon. And Brian, we really appreciate this. It's kind of awkward, frankly, to do things on the phone all the time, but we're doing the social distancing and doing all the things that the governor and our president are required to try to keep us away from infecting people with the coronavirus. So appreciate your participation. We'll be back with more. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
God is love. God's love is intrinsic. It is as essential to God as light is to the sun, as blue is to the sky, as wet is to water. You don't make water wet, it is wet. In all of these cases, the attribute is intrinsic to the object. Take great joy in your God. He loves you. Hey, this is Pastor Scott Thom of Cross Christian Fellowship. Connect with us at crossfellowship.org.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com. or 505-884-8584.
We can change the world with the words we say. Hi, I'm Lisa Turkers with Proverbs 31 Ministries. One day, I was eating in a restaurant, and every time our server came to the table, she had something really kind to say. I was amazed by her gracious attitude, and I found it was quite contagious. So I challenged myself to make a conscious effort to use my words as a gift to each person that I came in contact with the rest of that day. You know, in a world that promotes tearing others down to build ourselves up, we can make a difference by using our words to bless and encourage. Let's look at those who we come in contact with today as people who really need a kind word or two. I've found that giving kind words, it's one of the greatest ways to make the love of Jesus known to so many who desperately need it. For more, visit Proverbs31.org.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Has God shown you that there are things in your life that need to be changed and fixed? Generally speaking, we all have these things in our lives in one shape or another. The difference is if we take care of them right away or not. In the automotive repair world, I've seen this over and over. Catastrophic failures due to people not fixing small issues with their vehicle right away. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we take care of all your vehicle's repair and maintenance needs. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA approved. We are located in Rio Rancho on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And we have free towing to our facility for repairs. Just ask for details. And with those things God is showing you that you need to change and fix, please don't put it off and let these small issues in your life become catastrophic failures. Jesus stands beside you ready to fix all that is broken in you if you will just simply ask him to do so. And he's already paid the price for the repair.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I absolutely love listening to KNKT Radio. This is Jim Williams with ABQ Connect, and I listen to these Bible studies, and when we hear these spots, guys like John Chitwood, where they're likening, you know, taking care of your car to taking care of yourself spiritually. Brian, I'm lifted up by guys that can really get us to think about a process and a plan. And it's actually kind of fun. It's not laborious. It's interesting. It's growth. And it's all the things that I think people would really enjoy about having faith.
I agree. You know, the Christian faith isn't some morose or boring thing. It really is a beautiful expression of true life. And I think when we become Christians, we begin to understand that. You know, when you're standing outside of Christianity, you kind of look at it as a bunch of rules and regulations. But once you become a Christian, you understand it's about a relationship with the true and living God. And I would concur with you 100%, Jim. It's just full of joy and just wonder.
Brian, the more you learn, and I mean, you are a much more dedicated person to scholarship and academia and probably a lot more disciplined spiritually than I am. But I really appreciate you sharing your wisdom, because I'm able to really benefit by how you summarize these topics. And then a lot of times you'll give me resources and I'll look deeper into different things. But, you know, I know Skip will frequently talk about Greek and Hebrew words and give us the background and give us a historical context. And I frankly don't remember a whole lot of that, but I do remember what life application he has. And I do remember in his expository style, where and what the scripture is addressing when he talks about that. He's not just pulling scriptures out and using them as a springboard for whatever he wants to talk about. And let me tell you, I don't mean to sound critical at all. I mean, there's a lot of topical preachers out there that are wonderful. They're sharing the word. People are coming to faith. But that's all to say, Brian, the more you learn, do you still have doubts?
Oh, sure. You know, the more you learn, you will doubt. I mean, questions will arise, different questions. Now, let me just say, when I say I doubt, I've never really been an individual to doubt God's existence per se. I don't have like a C.S. Lewis conversion of atheist to a Christian. But I've always tried to understand the different angles and approaches people have to theology. So mine aren't so much about the doubts of God, but just doubting maybe a particular a position I used to hold and why I may change, you know, to something new or try to get new insight on it. You know, Jim, it also goes back to something you asked in the first segment, and that's to the authority of the Bible. And, you know, I think when we talk about the authority of the Bible, just to kind of expand that discussion point a little bit more, is there's a general authority given in the Bible. such as the Bible claims to be a revelation from God. So God spoke or the Lord said. So it's authoritative on all these different levels, in moral and so on and so forth. But it behooves the person to understand it rightfully, to interpret it correctly. So though the Bible is authoritative and it is stating what God wants, there needs to be a proper understanding of how we interpret it. Because quite frankly, Jim, anyone can make the Bible say whatever they want. They could take a verse out of context and say, well, this is what the Bible says. But our job, I think, as Christians, is to rightfully divide the word of truth, as Paul would tell us. So we need to be people who are rightfully dividing the word of truth, and at times I may come to a different conclusion. I may have held a position one way, let's say 20 years ago, and I may now hold a different position. So, you know, the general authority of God is there, but we still have to do our homework, so to say. But then even specifically, when we talk about the authority of God in Christ, you know, Jesus himself said all authority has been given to him. And Jesus himself also said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So not only do we have to interpret the Bible, I think, honestly and with integrity, but we also have to interpret it within Jesus, how Jesus would look at it, or through the lens of Christ, because Christ is the consummation of the Bible. He's, you know, the Old Testament points to him, and the New Testament looks back to him. So Jesus is that focal point. So we really have to be mindful not only of how we interpret the Bible, but that we interpret it Christologically, you know, with Jesus at the center of what we're doing and saying. So, and again, for me, the doubts don't come up as to God's existence or even Jesus's resurrection or anything like that, but it's properly interpreting the text and coming to conclusions based upon the text.
Yeah. Have you ever found yourself having a bias somehow, that maybe you were predisposed to and you didn't even realize, and then
I think all people have a bias, and to a certain extent we could try to level out our biases, but we could never get rid of them. We're always going to have a predisposition of how we approach something in what we do. So the one of the marks of, I think, good scholarship is to recognize your biases and try to hold them at bay as long as you can without distorting your particular interpretation or what the text is actually saying.
Yeah. Well, in one of these binge-watching moods that we all kind of get into now when we're at home for extended periods of time, I love to watch documentaries. And I was watching a little documentary about some things happening in the South, where there was a gentleman that was the president of the Ku Klux Klan chapter, and there was a woman that was a black activist, and they were brought together because they were talking about integrating the schools. And they had this black, I believe he's a college professor, put together what I learned a long time ago. Steve McKee uses this term all the time, a planning charrette. And what he really did is he really brought together blacks and whites in this very discriminatory environment, a lot of bigotry going on, and he made these people sit down and talk to each other. And the gist of the movie is basically that at the end, this gentleman that was the president of the Ku Klux Klan actually votes to integrate the schools. And it's an amazing story about how he ends up being friends with this black activist, a woman who they wanted to tear each other's throats out when they first met each other, but they were friends for 20 or 30 years and working together on all kinds of issues. So their biases, whether those are cultural or prejudicial or whatever they were broken down because of the relationships. And I want to ask you now about a relationship. We always talk about a relationship with Jesus. What does it mean to be a cultural Christian as opposed to a Christian according to the Bible?
Oh, boy, yeah. So this idea of cultural Christian has been in recent times promoted and propagated by Ed Stetzer, who's a great Christian thinker. He's the interim pastor at Moody, and he's also the director of the Billy Graham Center there at Wheaton College. And Ed Stetzer categorized Christians, quote-unquote Christians, into three camps. There's cultural Christians, there's congregational Christians, and thirdly, there's convictional Christians. So to Ed Stetzer, this first category is made up of people who believe themselves to be Christian simply because their culture tells them they are. So I was born in the United States of America, and of course I'm a Christian. What else would I be? You know, so they look more to their heritage of their grandparents or their family, and they've never really made a true commitment to the Lord. So that's what a cultural Christian is, someone who's Christian by their culture. Whereas congregational Christians are similar, but these people are obviously more devout and sincere. And these people are connected not so much to a culture, but to a particular congregation, to a particular denomination. Now, many of these people are true Christians. They just are very focused and live according to that particular group's definition of what it means to be a Christian. And then the third level of Christian that Ed Stetzer points out is convictional Christian. And these are made up of people who really try to put Christ as the center of all they do. Sure, they're aware of all the different congregational differences, but for these people, it's about obedience to God and His Word, and they want to live as devout believers in our world. And again, not saying that congregational Christians don't, they just tend to want to live more by what the Lutheran Church or the Presbyterian or the Methodist Church. Whereas convictional Christians tend to be more non-denominational in their approach. They want to just represent Christ in any form or fashion and don't really want to put a label on who they are. So those are the three ways that Ed Stetzer has defined Christians: cultural, congregational, or convictional.
Brian, when we come back, I'm going to ask you a question off script. I'm going to ask you a question about people that observe Christians and say, you know, Christians are hypocrites. Why would I ever be a Christian? That's the question I have for you when we get back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Do you have an old clunker or a good running vehicle? Donate it to Joy Junction. It can help bring hope to the homeless. If it's in good condition, great. If not, no problem. Running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us, and we'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help? Here's Joy Junction CEO, Elma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless families, men and women, for more than 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have a new additional space to give more dignity and privacy to those who come to our doors. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org.
The Bible teaches that in the sight of God, our hearts are sinful. Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?"
Billy Graham.
Now, the heart in the Bible has come to stand for the center of the moral, spiritual, and intellectual life of a man. Your heart is the thing God looks at. He doesn't look at the color of your skin. He doesn't look at your bank account. He doesn't look at your social standing. He looks upon your heart. And the question I want to ask tonight is this: is your heart right?
If your heart isn't right, you won't go to heaven when you die. But you can make your heart right by surrendering it to Jesus Christ.
Do you believe with all your heart? Are you willing to believe with all your heart? I'm asking you to take that step tonight.
Learn more about believing in Jesus with all your heart at findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage, and we are your true locally owned and operated VA mortgage broker. As a broker, we have helped many veterans get into homes with little or no money out of pocket. This is done by lender credits. It works like this. Our rate is consistently 0.25% to 0.75% lower than other lenders in New Mexico. If we just match the rate of other lenders, we won't keep the profit on the higher rate. We turn that money over to the veteran. These lender credits can save the veteran thousands of dollars in closing costs. There is no reason lenders should be charging such high rates on VA loans. So I encourage all veterans looking to purchase or refinance to shop that mortgage around. Don't take a higher rate if you don't need to. And if you do, let us pay your closing costs. Call Indigo Mortgage at 836-5700. That's 836-5700. Or on the net at indigomortgage.net. NMLS 188-34.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I can remember Brian coming out of a church service at Calvary Albuquerque here about 10 years ago and just being inspired by what Skip had to say and being really lifted up, and the worship was amazing. And I pull out of the parking lot and somebody cuts me off and I'm yelling out the window with a little road rage. And I immediately was convicted and thought, what in the world am I doing? What am I learning? And a lot of people look at Christians and they say they're just hypocrites. Why would I ever want to be a Christian?
And Jim, you just gave us a real life example. That's because a lot of times Christians don't act like Christians. Yeah. We give the world, the watching world, and believe me, the world is watching Christians. They want to know, hey, are these guys living by what they say they believe? And a lot of times we don't. Well, we know the answer why we don't at times, because we're two sinners. You know, just because we've been saved doesn't mean that we're without sin. So we will fall back and we will get flesh and in the flesh and sometimes act unchristianly. So I think a lot of people do view Christians as being hypocrites because of that. But here's the point. We've got to get them beyond that. That's going back to something you brought up in the first part, Jim. Arguments that they're setting up. You know, they're setting up a straw man. Well, you're just a hypocrite, rather than dealing with the issue that's beforehand, that you are in need of a Savior, that Jesus rose from the dead, that there's rational, reasonable reasons why we believe, and then we need to respond to those reasons. So when people bring that up to me, I go, you know what? I agree with you. There are Christians who don't act Christ-like. And there are some Christians who are hypocrites, but that's not the question I'm raising. The question I'm raising is about you, is about, are you perfect? Are you a sinner? And then get them to that point where they're not setting up straw men of saying, oh, this Christian or that Christian or the Inquisition or the Crusades or whatever else, but they're dealing with their own life. And so I think that that's really an important thing to recognize. Yeah, sure, there are hypocritical Christians out there. There are people who are doing things unbecoming of Christ and saying things that are unbecoming of Christ. But it's, the point is that there aren't hypocritical people. The point is, what is that person going to do with their own hypocrisy and their own life?
Mm. So you can't really impose somebody else's hypocrisy on what you believe. You have to examine that for yourself.
Unquestionably, because here's the bottom line. I think on certain levels, Jim, all of us are hypocrites. You know, we believe one thing, but we do something else. And that's just not Christians. That's people from all faiths. That's agnostics and atheists. That's everyone. That's called the human condition. We all fall short. We're not perfect. Every human being, other than one, and that was Jesus Christ, every human being fell short. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need someone rescuing us from the prison of life and the prison of hell. So, you know, Jesus was part of this rescue plan, and that's why we need a Messiah. That's why we need a Savior. So, again, people could set up straw man all they want. Well, hypocrite this, Inquisition that. But they're not dealing with the issue, which is their own heart.
Mm. Brian, what does it mean that Jesus takes your sin upon himself?
Well, that means, well, the theological terminology for a lot of this is atonement, propitiation. This is basically that Jesus took the sins of the world upon himself and died for humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So Jesus came as a propitiation, as a final sacrifice, as a means to take that sin that is allocated for other people and put it on himself so that those who believe and receive Christ have eternal life. So Jesus he's God's atonement, he's God's propitiation, and there's a whole host of other theological words out there. But it just means that he took it upon himself because there's no way in the world anyone could take it upon themselves. The weight of sin is so deadly and so lethal and so overcoming, no one apart from God himself could take that. And that's exactly what God did. He sent his Son, the second person of the Trinity, to take that sin upon himself. The things that we could not carry, Christ carried for us.
Dr. Brian Nixon is an assistant pastor at Calvary of Albuquerque. He's also the director of publishing and education with Calvary Church. He's also an author, musician, dad, and husband. What other titles do you have, Brian?
Oh, that's it. Just a nice guy trying to get through life.
There you go. Well, Brian, you have a lot of interests. I mean, you love music. Do you find what we're talking about now, do you enjoy studying, and do you get a lot of pleasure out of it, or is it just this labor of love?
No, I do. I've always been kind of since I was little, I was always kind of a kid that gravitated towards, you know, facts and information, and always wanting to uncover, you know, the whys and what's behind everything. So my life has been spent, you know, in pursuit of all that. And of course, along the way, I've picked up, you know, how to play music instruments and how to paint, and a lot of the things that I also enjoy inform, you know, who I am and what I do.
Now, are you a rock and roller? Tell us about your music a little bit.
Yeah, I was a rock and roller back in the 80s. I was signed to a secular music record contract, and I was in a genre of music called post-punk. So there were punk rock elements, but then we had just some more straight, what I would call maybe more punk, I mean, excuse me, more popular in approach. And then after I left that band, I formed a couple of Christian bands, and we were also, one of the Christian bands was signed by Rick Wakeman, who was the keyboardist for Yes, and he had a British label called Hope, and we were signed to Hope Records for one of our albums. So music has always been a dear part of my life, and just like painting, you know, I've always painted, and I've always wrote poetry, and these are just different facets of who I am as a person.
I love it. I got to tell you a quick story. Years and years ago, this is probably 30-plus years ago, Skip Heitzik and I were walking in the lower level of Coronado Center, and this was back when they had a music store on the lower level, pretty close to the food court. And we're walking along, and this is a couple days before Christmas, and Skip is also a musician, and he walks near this music store, and he sees a Stratocaster electric guitar hanging on the wall. So he walks up to it, and he's looking at it, and of course the salesman comes right over and goes, "Hey, you want to try that out?" Skip goes, "Really? I can try it out?" So he plugs it into an amplifier, and all of a sudden he starts playing that initial lick to the Beatles' Revolution.
Yeah.
And he starts singing it. And I'm so enthralled, I'm not focusing on anything else, because Skip is just playing this Beatles music like it's crazy. And all of a sudden I turn around, and there are 50 or 60 people just listening to Skip. And the owner of the store is going, "Keep going, keep going. Keep playing." And it was just so fun. And I've never had, I'm rhythmically challenged, so I've never had any music ability, but I've just really always appreciated music. And that was a fun story that I'll always remember.
Yeah. Yeah. And Skip is, you know, he's musically talented. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, who have musical ability and musical giftings, you know, they are interested in a whole host of things. So music tends to be sort of intellectual. Yeah, I know it's also emotional, but learning how to play instruments and persevering to play them is an intellectual process. So that's a great story, Jim.
Brian, you shared a little bit earlier that we still do things that we wish not to do. So I'm thinking that there's some people listening to the show right now that they don't consider themselves to be hypocritical. They're really evaluating their lives and they're thinking, you know, I really probably should tell someone that I believe in Jesus and I should come to faith, but I need to straighten out all these other things in my life before I do that. What do you have to say to them?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things. I mean, if someone is really acting in a way that's unbecoming of Christ, I would say, first of all, Jim, they really need to check their heart and ask themselves, hey, am I a real Christian? Have I really committed myself to Christ? Now, sure, true, we fall, we fail, we miss the mark. But if we're consistently acting out a non-Christian behavior, I would really start and say, stop and say, hey, am I really a Christian? And if not, at that point, you know, you could simply turn your life over to Christ. You could say, I'm a sinner, I'm in need of a Savior, and be saved. You know, in the broader theological realm, Jim, that's called justification. That's the moment where we're justified. We're made right before God. And when we confess our sins and we believe in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that we're saved. So at that point, if someone, again, is just so not walking with the Lord and living, they have to stop and ask themselves, am they a true Christian? Now, for those people who maybe are in a low ebb of their Christian faith or have fallen a few times and really seeking God, I would say that's part of the sanctification process. So the first step of our Christian life is justification. We're saved. The second part of our life is we're sanctified. And this is we're being conformed into the image of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, in a way, is cleaning us up. And he's not finished with us. And because he's not finished with us, we are going to fall. We are going to fail. And it behooves us to repent from what we're doing and turn back to Christ and try to be conformed into his Christ, in his image, to imitate Jesus in all we do. So, you know, to answer your question, you know, if someone is just messing up and just continually messing up, again, that could be a salvation issue or that could be a sanctification issue. And the only person who's going to be able to determine that is the person and the Lord.
Yeah. And Brian, are there pastors always available at Calvary Church to answer questions of people if they want to call and get
there
questions
are.
Answered?
There's always pastors available. And even off hours, we have what's called the emergency phone, and people could call and ask for prayer for pastors via the emergency phone. I don't have the number before me, but if you were to call or go online,
yeah, our general number is 505-344-0880. So I know that Monday through Friday, you can get a hold of us at 344-0880, area code 505. Brian, we're going to take one last break. I hope you can stay with us one more segment. I want to talk to you a little bit about reading the Bible. And for people that don't spend a lot of time reading it, maybe you can give us a simple plan to start with. We'll be right back with Brian Nixon. Stay with us.
Support by DreamSpring, a nonprofit community lender. For over 25 years, DreamSpring has been increasing access to business credit for entrepreneurs across New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona, and beyond. DreamSpring offers loans for self-employed entrepreneurs, startups, and large established enterprises. Information about flexible credit requirements, affordable rates, and customized lending available by calling 800-508-7624 or online at dreamspring.org.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. We'll give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part? We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part? You rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
This is A Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
The God who loves you and wants to bless you and use you also has this created enemy called the devil who, for whatever reason, is given the permission to destroy you. And he would rather have you lukewarm. He would rather have you sinning. So as you start to blaze a trail of goodness and glory and all the things God has for you, his desire gets to turn down the volume on your life. And one of the best, most effective ways he does that is to persecute you. It'll cause you to go, well, forget this then. Then I don't need to do this for God if that's how God's going to treat me. And so we begin to stop serving God, which is the exact opposite of what we're supposed to do. And Jehoshaphat, somehow deep down, he knew that. So notice what he does. Verse 3, I love this. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord.
For more fresh thoughts, go to LeviLusko.com.
KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Dr. Brian Nixon on the phone with us today on ABQ Connect. Brian, for those that do not spend a lot of time reading the Bible, can you give us kind of a basic plan and where we should start with that and questions we should ask as we read?
Wow, this is a really big question. And I think a lot of it is just dependent on where the person is. If they're a new believer, let's say, I would recommend someone just to start simply with the Gospel of John. Mm. Commit to reading one book at a time. Don't set this lofty goal of, I'm going to get through the whole Bible, because a lot of times you get lost, particularly when you get to the book of Leviticus and others. So I would say if you're a new believer, start with something simple, very Christ-centered, and that would be the Gospel of John. Now, for the more seasoned Christian, there are lots of Bible programs out there. You know, there's a 5-day reading program, so you essentially read through the Bible a year by reading certain books 5 days a week. And then there's the 52-week Bible reading plan, and this is, you read through the Bible in 52 weeks, but you focus on different genres, such as the epistles or the law or history or Psalms, poetry. You get the idea. So there's a lot of different ways to read. A lot of people like to read it chronologically, so they start with the beginning, and then they go to the second oldest book, and then they go to the third, and it brings them up chronologically. Other people like to read it through discipleship, and what a discipleship reading plan is those books that are really going to influence your walk with the Lord in very concrete fashion, so they usually tend to be very New Testament-oriented. So there's a lot of ways. What I do, Jim, years ago, I just realized reading. Of course, I've read through the Bible multiple times, but I found that trying to get through the Bible every year is not always conducive for me. So rather than quantity, I go for quality. Mm. So what I do is I choose one book of the Bible every year, and I do an in-depth study of that book. So this year, it happens to be the book of Revelation. So I am doing an in-depth study of the book of Revelation. Last year, it was something different. I always choose a different book, and I use the basic inductive Bible study method of observation, interpretation, and application. So I observe what's going on in the text. I look for improper interpretation, which includes defining words and looking up the words and the meaning. And then I try to apply it to my life. So that's your basic inductive Bible study method, observation, interpretation, application. And then on top of that in-depth study I spend each year, I'll read through the Psalms every day. Mm-hmm. So depending on the day, I do a corresponding psalm, because when you think about it, the Psalms were the prayer book of Jesus. So when you're reading the Psalms, you're reading the prayer book of Jesus. So I read through the Psalms in addition to that book that I'm doing an in-depth study. And then two times a year, I know this is getting complicated, but two times a year, I also do in-depth studies on aspects of Jesus' life. So during this time, I correspond it with Lent. So I'll do a study of Lent, and I'll usually use different people's commentaries on that. And during Advent, those things leading up to Jesus' birth, I do something. But generally speaking, what I do is I go deep into one particular book, and then I go read Psalms throughout the year. Yeah. But for people who want to get the whole Bible in the whole year, just type up reading plan through the Bible in a year, and you will get a whole host of recommendations on scripture on the internet.
Brian, do you have to be careful with anything on the internet? I mean, are there people that intentionally try to mislead you?
Oh, sure. Sure, that's just part of life, and it goes back to what we said at the beginning. Christians need to be well aware of their Bible. They need to have a basic sense of apologetics, maybe even a sense of logic, so you could kind of weed through a lot of the junk that's out there, because there's a lot of people on the internet that want to trip you up. And again, that's why I've always found it important to point people to trustworthy biblical authors such as Norm Geisler or John Warwick Montgomery, and you know, the list goes on.
And these are books that are probably available at Parchments on the
Calvary. Norman Geisler books definitely would be carried at Parchments. As well as John Warwick Montgomery, you could get those on Amazon as well. But there's great, great Christian thinkers out there that I think Christians, we particularly in the day and age in which we live, we need to be equipped. Speaking of which, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, with suffering and pain and discomfort, Norm Geisler did write a book about evil. You know, If God, Why Evil? And I would recommend people to pick that up or go online and kind of dissect some of his thoughts regarding it. We just need to be equipped people in the day in which we live.
And he actually addresses the old question a lot of people have, is why bad things happen to good people.
Yeah. Oh, unquestionably, yeah. As a matter of fact, I would say that is the number one philosophical question asked throughout history. A lot of these other things are like, yeah, those are important questions. But the number one question that trips a lot of people up is, if there's a God, why is there evil? If there's a good, loving God, why is there evil? And many theologians have dealt with this this topic.
You know, you mentioned reading through the Psalms. I've got a silly way I do this because it's kind of simple. But there are 31 Proverbs. So, for example, we have 31 days in this month, and I go in and I read a chapter of Proverbs to correspond with the day of the week or the day of the month. And of course, when we have shorter months, you don't have to skip. You can read a couple extra chapters. But doing this, I've read through Proverbs every month for probably 2 or 3 years. So yep. I've begun to internalize that, because that's the way my brain works, is I pretty much know if an issue comes up with one of my friends, I know what Proverbs says about it, and I can direct them to it.
And that's what a lot of people do with the Proverbs. I mean, whereas I do it with the Psalms, people do it with the Proverbs. And what I do with the Psalms is, at the end of 30, I just keep going. So, you know, at 30, you go, well, the Psalms keep going on. Yeah, so at 31 would just be your day of the next week. So what you do with the Proverbs, I do with the Psalms. I just continually read through them throughout the year. So I ingest the Psalms like you ingest Proverbs.
Yeah. And Brian, I got to tell you, I have a philosophy for good old Psalms. What I do is I basically take the day of the week, or the day of the month. If it's the first, I read 5 times 1. I read 5 chapters of Psalms. On the second, I read 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So I'm always reading 5 chapters of Psalms every day. Now, sometimes that takes a long time. Sometimes it doesn't. Depends, because there's some long Psalms. But, again, if you read 5 a day during the month, most months you're going to cover all 150 Psalms.
That's right. Yeah. I love all the different reading programs. And I think the bottom line, Jim, is people just need to get out there, explore, experience a few of them, and then find which one works for you, and then stick to it. Stick to the one that really works for you. And like I said, for me, I go in depth with one book every year, and then I use the Psalms reading each day. You use Proverbs. I just think people need to find the method that works for them and then stick to it.
Amen. Brian Nixon, thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thank you, Jim. Always a blessing.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.